Punk's not dead, and neither is New Wave. Join Buzz and Ben on Static Rage, the Punk and New Wave Album Review Podcast.
It is that time again for us to gather and talk about music. My name is Ben, and with me as always is my good friend Buzz. What's going on out there, Buzz?
And not a lot. Not a whole lot. We have so much going on in the real world here. It's not even funny. And I thought, well, if we've got everything going on and everything is going well for people, why don't we just delve into some darkness and talk about some evil stuff tonight? And I think that's what we're going to be doing.
To paraphrase the album, we are the evil one. So that is what is going on. And with that said, we are talking about the 1981 solo debut of the 13th Floor Elevator's Rocky Erickson, the evil one. It was recorded in 1979, released in 1981, produced by Stu Cook. You know, this is one of those albums that has been issued and reissued and reissued again. We're primarily going to be talking about the 1987 reissue. So the runtime for that is longer than what is listed on the original because there's some additional tracks that are put on here. There's about five additional tracks. So I don't exactly have the runtime, but it's over now.
Yeah, it's... I want to say it's like an hour and 20 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that.
That sounds about right. It's something like that. The personnel on the album were Stu Cook. As I said, he was the producer and he played bass on Bloody Hammer and Sputnik, Rocky Erickson, vocals and guitars, Dwayne Asalaken on guitars and vocals, Bill Miller, Electric Auto Heart, Andre Lewis, electronic keyboards, Steve Morgan Burgess also played bass on the other tracks, and Fuzzy Furioso played drums. Jeff Sutton played the drums on Bloody Hammer and Sputnik. Scott Matthews played drums on White Faces. And Brian Marnell did the backing vocals on Creature with an Atom Brain and I Walked with a Zombie.
So I just want to start off by saying, if you've never heard Rocky Erickson before or 13th Floor Elevators, you really are doing yourself a disservice. You should go, like, after we get done talking about this, if you've never heard of them, after this podcast, go give them a listen. Especially if you like psychedelic rock, this is one of those things I didn't know about for a very long time. And I'm just going to go out and say it. I didn't know about this band until Ghost did their cover of VF Ghosts. And then as soon as I found out that Rocky Erickson was a real person, then I'm like, oh, let me go actually listen to this. Holy shit. This is amazing. I wish I'd known about this well before. So if that's an indication on how I'm going to grade this tonight.
Yeah. I didn't know of this at the time, of course, you know, being only five when it came out or thereabouts. But I found out about Rocky through Henry Rollins, through his radio show on KCRW, I think it is, out in LA. And he plays a really eclectic mix, but he always talks about, he's really good, actually, and I really appreciate this, about listing and talking a little bit about each song that he plays on his show. I guess because he knows he plays so much out there stuff. And so he was talking about Rocky Erickson, and I think it was, I don't even remember now what track it was, but I was like, holy shit, that is cool. Because you're right, it is psychedelic, but it's, you know, it's not near rockabilly, really, but it is also, like, kind of country-ish in its psychedelia, so it's, you know, space cowboy shit, and I really, really liked it.
Yeah, the way I was trying to describe it to one of my friends that I talked to is essentially if you have a singer that has a very country twang to their voice, but they're doing psychedelic rock. And I would almost, I'm not going to call it punk, but it's kind of verges on punk a few times. And we might talk about that when we talk about the listings, but it does kind of get there. The other thing too is it's very bluesy. There's a bunch of songs on here. They're very bluesy. And I have heard them. I've heard Rocky being compared to if ZZ Top sang Misfit songs. And it's not quite the same, but I understand that feel to it. It's almost like I'm taking psychedelic rock, blues, and maybe a little bit of punk and mixing them together. That's really kind of what this reminds me of. Because on sometimes you feel like it almost like the title track, the initial track of the version we're talking about tonight, is almost more of just a generic like rock and roll song of the early of late 70s, early 80s, but there's more, it's more energetic than that. So I, and again, this is one of the things I've talked about before in this podcast. I like when artists and bands kind of veer out of what you expect them to be, and you cut, they kind of surprise you a little bit. So I've heard about like that. So I would say very bluesy punk mixed with a little bit of country is what it sounds like to me.
I think that's a pretty good, your description of the ZZ Top playing Misfit sounds. It's a pretty apt description. I mean, he definitely sounds like he's from Texas, which he is. It also kind of reminds me of the Butthole Surfers, but like not as acid rock. You know, say if you think of the track Pepper, if you've heard that, Pepper could very well be a Rocky Erickson song. It would be a little bit more like horror punk influence if it was written by him, I have a feeling. But that vibe of that, so the bluesiness with a little bit of psychedelia and a little bit of the old kind of rock and roll thing going on, but still kind of out there. That is like the closest thing I can think of to something our listeners may be familiar with.
And that's just it. I feel to me, this is definitely, it's when you, he transcends genres. I'll just say it. This is a very hard album to say what it is specifically. And it's hard to say what Rocky is genre wise. You know, it's good rock music. I mean, that's all I can think to say it. It's that fits in that genre of like, it can kind of do a little bit of everything and it sounds good.
Yeah, but it's weird Kid Rock.
It
not
is.
Like Kid Rock, not, but you know.
Yeah, like if Kid Rock was actually talented and
yeah.
could actually well, sing.
I didn't actually mean Kid Rock at all, but I mean, it was like weird kid, comma, rock.
I'm going to stand by my assertion. I don't like Kid Rock. like Kid Rock, so anytime I can like smash that motherfucker, I will.
Yeah.
No, but this whole album is just, it's awesome. I mean, some of the songs on here kind of get weird on me a little bit, and we'll talk about that when we get to the listings, but there's not really a bad song on here, and I know I'm kind of skipping ahead, but that's really what reminded me of this. And another thing too, this the way that he plays, I think it's important, and I've said this before, I said it when we talked about Ghost last week, and I'll say it again, even though some of the songs on here kind of meander on like the horror element, especially with some of the track listings, my understanding, and that's all it is my understanding, I've been doing some reading, remember I didn't grow up with this, it almost seems like he does what Tool and Ghost do, to where the lyrics don't necessarily mean what they sound like, and I kind of appreciate that, because he had schizophrenia really bad, and I'm pretty sure he had some other mental issues, and when we jump into the song listings here, I'll kind of go over that too as much as I can, but there's a lot of, it feels like, man, you're writing this from like a really weak place, and you're getting this out of your system, and it sounds kind of cracked out, but that's because that's what's going on in your mind right now. And this is one of the few artists that can do it and do it well, and not to be sappy, but it almost sounds like a cry for help sometimes, man. I mean, that's really what some of the songs sound like when you break them down.
Yeah. You know, he did definitely have documented mental health issues. I think schizophrenia was one of them, and I do believe you're right that there's some others. So in that aspect, not necessarily the playing or what's going on, but it kind of reminds me of some of the stuff that like Peter Green, who was in the original lineup of Fleetwood Mac, he also had some mental health issues, and some of the stuff he wrote was reflections of that, like Green Monolishi with the three-pronged crown, or, you know, Syd Barrett with Pink Floyd, which I don't know that he necessarily, any of his lyrics, and I could be off here because I'm not super knowledgeable at the Pink Floyd canon, had psychedelic or images that reflected. But then, like, when he had a psychotic break and kind of left the band writing about the experience of being in a band, somebody with schizophrenia, or even, like, back to when we did Joy Division, you know, some of that stuff. So I do think this fits. He is using his love of horror movies as the language to describe what is going on in his head.
And that is what I think makes this album genius. Right there, you kind of hit the nail on the head for me. I was getting at that when you have someone that uses like a little bit of allegory, and you go, "Hey, I'm going to take this and I'm going to throw it out, and this is what's going on right now." And if you understand what I'm talking about rather than what's being said, then you're probably getting me. And that's what this felt like, honestly. More than anything else, that's what this felt like.
Well, he's certainly a very creative lyric writer. I mean, the music is cool. Don't get me wrong, for like this weird amalgamation of blues, garage rock, and whatever else you want to call it. And the players he has on here, I mean, fuck. The Stu Cook, the guy who did the producing and played bass on a couple of tracks, is the dude from CCR. He played bass for them. So this is a very talented group of either longhand studio musicians or guys who've been around the music business bouncing from band to band for a long time. And so the playing on this is very good. It's incredibly solid. I have no complaints about any of it musically. But where he really stands out is the, for lack of a better term, quirkiness of the lyric writings. And even if you don't know what's going on, and you didn't realize that he was having these issues and hadn't read that, these are weird songs, but they're very cool songs.
And there's that. You know, when you start taking some of the lyrics and you take them at face value, you can still enjoy them at face value. And that's what's important. I mean, that's what, again, going back to what Ghost and Tool and those other bands have done this before too, where even if you don't understand specifically what they're talking about, you can still appreciate the song. There's really not a lot of bands that can do that. Regardless of what some people might say, there's not a lot of bands that can do it well. This is one of the few people that can. And you know, it's everything about this, man. I'm going to echo what Ben just said. There's nothing bad on this album. I do think some of the songs meander a little bit, but they're not horrible. It's not something that I'm going to listen to the album and go, "Oh, I don't like this song, I'm going to skip it." It's going to be like, I may not like it a lot, but I'm still going to listen to it because it's not bad. That's really what it comes down to, is just you if you're willing to read into the lyrics, it's more rewarding. But if you don't want to read into them, it's just as enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely so.
So yeah, I think we've talked about the production enough, man, because if those of you listening right now have not stopped because you're bored of us yet, the production on this album is amazing. There's nothing, every song on here is done well. It's all recorded well. So the production of it is pretty spot on. Ben, you got anything else you want to add before we jump in?
I do not. And I think I'm going to go ahead and jump into tracks, because I think you're going to have a little bit more to say than I did.
Sure thing.
Go ahead and get it out of the way. And I do agree with you that I don't think anything on here is bad. There's some stuff that I think really stands out. That's what I'm going to praise first. And again, we're talking about the 1987 reissue, which again has 5 more tracks on it than the original. So like, if you have the original, cool, you're awesome, you're one of the cool kids, but this is the one that we listened to. Two-Headed Dog, Red Temple Prayer, awesome opener, I thought, on this. I Think of Demons, really cool, Creature with the Atom Brain. Then we get into the run that I think is my favorite here. So If You Have Ghosts, I Walked with a Zombie, Night of the Vampire, it's a code night for alligators, and Mind, and Sputnik. I mean, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tracks. That 6 track run is amazing.
Yeah, that's damn near half the album. So
yeah.
I'm gonna echo just pretty much what Ben said. So Two-Headed Dog, if going back to what I said at the beginning of this, when I said he's almost like a bluesy, like ZZ Top-ish, Two-Headed Dog could almost been performed by ZZ Top. In fact, I believe there's a video on YouTube someone uploaded a few years ago where he played with Gibbons from ZZ Top. I think he did that track, and it actually did pretty well. But it's very blues influence. It's very like, I could see it being performed by someone in a roadhouse bar, man. That's what it felt like to me. And then you start reading the lyrics and you're like, oh, okay, that's deeper than just some like biker music then. But it's a great opener, and it's one of my favorite songs that he performs. And there's a lot of energy to it, and you can tell he put a lot of energy into it. I think of Demons as good. It's weird because it kind of slows down at that point, and then it kind of picks up again with Creature with the Autumn Brain. Bloody Hammer was okay. Stand for the Fire Demon was interesting, and the reason I liked it is because out of all the songs on here, that reminded me so much more of something like Jefferson Airplane, like a lot of just like that 60s psychedelic rock that just keeps going and kind of puts you in a trance. Like, say, that's what that song reminded me of more than anything else. So really enjoyed that. I think the one that stands out the most on here is If You Have Ghosts, and I'm going to come back to this. So hold on. I Walk With a Zombie was good. That's the one song on here that I tend to go, okay, I don't hate it, but I don't really enjoy it either. Let me explain why. The lyrics are, I walked with a zombie three times, and then I walked with a zombie last night, and that's it. It's pretty much a very simple song. There's nothing wrong with it. Musically, it's fine. I was expecting more, and I don't know if he did that on purpose, but here's what it does convey when you listen to it. It's very much in the vein of a late 1950s, early 1960s song. That's good for the horror aspect of it because it reminds me of, again, like that time period of when Night of the Living Dead came out. You know, you have that feeling of just innocence all of a sudden becoming not so innocent anymore. And that's a lot of times when people talk about music from the 50s and 60s, that's kind of what you pick up on. It has like this, America has this very innocent feel to it, and you don't have, there's not a lot of danger, but it's almost like, as simple of a song as that is, you're getting that feeling of like, oh, we're about to not be so innocent anymore. And here's this presented in a very safe way. And I hope you're ready, because the next song after it, Night of the Vampire, fucking takes it and runs it. Night of the Vampire is the one to me out of everything, other than If You Have Ghosts, where it feels like he's trying to get out everything that's going through in his mental state. While yes, at face value, he's talking about a vampire attack, I'm going to tell you right now, it sounds to me like more of his having a psychedelic attack. It's more about, it feels like it's more about his schizophrenia coming out. It feels like it's more about him having a panic attack. It really does. It has that slow buildup, and there's a very much an acid rock guitar to it. So you have this almost doom feel to it. That is why I like that song that much. Cold Night for Alligators was good. Mine was good. Sputnik kind of feels like that you're, it feels more like your paranoia state. And I think it's interesting that that's what that song conveyed to me. And considering when this came out, the United States and the Soviet Union were kind of at odds with each other. So it's just interesting that he kind of used that title for this. But it had that very much paranoia state to it. And then I thought White Faces was a good way to end this version of the album. It kind of, by the time you get to that track, it's kind of lackluster. And I would have probably picked something else, but it's an okay way to end it. You have anything you want to add before I go back to If You Have Ghosts?
The only thing that I would say, and I agree with you, Night of the Vampire is probably my favorite track on here. But I Walked with a Zombie is the one that has the most Misfits vibe to me. Because I could see that being something Glenn and Company would have done in like the very early days of the band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, and if for those of you that have not listened to our Misfits episode when we did the box set, I'm pretty sure we went over this, but I think I and possibly you, Ben, both said if, even though it's punk from the 70s and early 80s, it still has like a 1950s vibe to it.
100%.
And that's when you get into horror punk in general, a lot of horror punk, that's why they do it. That's why you have a lot of greasers in horror punk. It's why you have a lot of people that do like the Leather Jackets and like almost like a doo-wop style of singing when you're doing punk. It's because of that band. But yet that song does kind of remind me of that. I just wish it wasn't so simplistic. I wish there was more to it than just the words.
Sure.
Because again, the track itself isn't bad. It's just like, man, it's kind of, this is the only lyrics over and over and over. Come on, man. So the reason I wanted to talk about If You Have Ghosts is when we talked about Ghosts last week, one of the things I brought up is they covered this song and that it kind of goes back and forth depending on which version you hear. This version that Rocky does it's more, it conveys that feeling of his schizophrenia coming out when he gets to the part about the moon being out. And on the left, that's the left side of his brain. And for those of you that understand how the left side of the brain works, that's your creative side. That's also where a lot of mental issues come from. So his version of If You Have Ghosts, I feel, is more of him dealing with the fact that he's slowly going insane and realizes he's going insane and he knows he can't do anything about it. And essentially the ghosts in that he's talking about are memories. I'm going to fast forward a little bit and go to, and I know this isn't a Ghost album review, but I'm going to talk about Ghost's version of the song. When Ghost covered it, the song itself was more about being alone. And a lot of it had to do with their intonation and Tobias Forge's voice. And the fact they slowed things down a little bit. The bridge of their version wasn't as quick coming out as Rocky Erickson's was. You know, when Rocky's part, it's the moon left me as part of me, my thoughts, and the part of me is me, forever's the wind, blah, blah. He goes over very quickly like that. Ghost did not. So with Rocky, it felt more like I'm losing my mind and this is all I have left. With Ghost, it was more, hey, stuff happens. You're going to have bad memories and good memories. Deal with it. And if you've ever been alone, this is what it's like. And it's crazy that both versions of this pretty much the same lyrics convey two different meanings. So I would encourage all of you, if you like this album at all, if you even like that song even somewhat, go listen to both versions and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Just because honestly, that's probably my second favorite track on this album right after Night of the Vampire. So I would say in order, Night of the Vampire, Two-Headed Dog, and If You Have Ghosts, I could put that on loop and I'd be happy, even though I like most of the rest of the album.
Awesome. Yep, I don't really have anything else to add to that.
Cool. Well, in that case, shall we give this a grade?
Let's do it. I guess I can go first. I'll give this a B+. I really enjoyed this. You know, again, I'm talking about the 87 reissue with the 5 extra tracks, not to beat that dead horse, but with that, with it being over an hour, it is a bit too long. And that's really the only knock that I have of it. You know, so that kind of dilutes the material. If it was shorter and still managed to maintain all the tracks that I mentioned or that Buzz mentioned, but in particular, no doubt it would be a much higher grade because those tracks are awesome. But sometimes it's just too much of a good thing.
All right. So you people listening, if you've never listened to this podcast before, you might get a little bit incensed at what I'm going to say. I give 2 grades because I'm that difficult of a person. So the reason I give my 2 grades, I always talk about this just in case this is someone's first time. I grade this both musically as just a enjoyer of the arts and in knowing how music goes, but I also give it a grade of the genre we're talking about. Now remember, keep in mind that while we do other genres of music on this podcast, this is primarily a punk, post-punk, and goth podcast. So keep that in mind on the second part. But to kick it off, the first part of this, musically, this is getting a fucking A+ for me. Everything on here is done extremely well. If I'm judging this just solely based on the production value and the mixing and the musical talents of everyone involved, and that's all I was doing, A+, don't even look back. If you don't understand that, go listen to this album right now. Even if it's not your cup of tea, you'll understand why I'm coming from the way that I am. I appreciate music when it's done well, and that's what this is. And sometimes you don't have to have the most beautiful voice. Sometimes that's exactly what you need. You need a voice that might be off kilter, that might be a little on the rough side. Maybe that's what makes it work. There's a lot of people out there, when they listen to music, they only listen to one type and go, well, it's not my style. It's not what I like. That's cool. That's you. You know who else agrees with that? I do, because I don't like a lot of pop music, but I understand why it's popular and I understand why people like it. So with that in mind, production value, amazing. When it comes to how I view this as a post-punk, punk, outside the mainstream, if you will, I'm going to agree with Ben. This is getting a B+ for me, because other than the length and other than a few songs that I would probably have taken out of this version, it might have gone to the rank of either an A- or an A. But those few things I talked about, what small negatives there were, I would give it a B+. This is not would I would call it an amazing album, but it's definitely one I would say if I see it in a store, I pick it up. And if you like any songs on here, I would suggest doing the same.
Right on, man. So what are we going to do next?
Well, next, I think we've gone down the rabbit hole of the dark, depressive state. Let's come back to a more vibrant world of hot rods, cool cats, hot kittens, slick back hair, Gretsch guitar playing. Let's all be some go on the straight path and be some cats. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, we're gonna strut on out of here, and we'll catch you next time.
All right. And just don't call us the runaway boys for nothing, man.
Indeed.